You are listening to the Sound in Faith podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
Our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're all about.
Amen.
The gospel.
The gospel.
That is what we're about today. Hey, we are got a little bit of a heavy episode today. I mean, we're going to talk about some heavy events that have happened.
Yes.
But also kind of the response to that has happened.
I think we're focusing more on the response.
Yeah.
But we should talk to the event too.
Right, because that is significant.
Or the events.
With that, we're taking a break from the What's the Difference series today that we've been going through. We've got a lot of great response to that, yeah. And we plan to do some more of those. But we felt like in
what's the difference between bald pastors and pastors with full locks?
I think bald pastors are definitely better looking.
Yeah. So I'll agree with that.
And especially if they have beards.
Yeah.
So let's kind of set the stage here. Everybody, I think, by this point knows what happened last week.
Yeah.
There was the horrible assassination of Charlie Kirk that took place.
And we've had a lot of tragedies lately that are
really
gripping. You know, a school shooting the same day as Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Certainly Charlie Kirk and the way that he was, what he stood for and the reasons and all of that he was gunned down. That's a gripping thing that requires thoughtfulness. And then, you know, not long before that, Irina, how do you say her last name?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't have that off the
Zarutska.
Yeah.
I think it's Zarutska.
A young
Ukrainian woman who was minding her own business, totally innocent, sitting on a public transport and being assaulted and murdered there, you know, on that train. So big, and all of it caught on film, and it's heart-wrenching. And you know, the other big headlines, you know, there's a war raging in Ukraine and Russia, I mean, from Russia, that's been going on for a long time. The Middle East. I mean, we just have so many big things going on. But Charlie Kirk, last week when he was killed, that was it felt like a gut punch to me. It was a really heavy day.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Just thinking about all the different issues that it raised in my heart and in for Christians. You know, just thinking about public discourse and thinking about the hatred and how it manifests itself, not in simple ideas or, you know, healthy argument even.
Yeah, but, debate.
But violence.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
violence.
And silencing somebody you don't like.
Right.
You know? And Charlie Kirk was a Christian, stood for the gospel. In increasing measure towards the end of his life, he was stronger and stronger in his witness for Christ. And so, yeah, these are big things.
And this doesn't make light of any of these things that you
No.
just mentioned, but the reality of it is, in a fallen world that we live in until Christ comes again, pastors are going to be faced with the challenge of standing in their pulpits and having to preach to their congregations when something of mass notoriety has taken place during
Certainly.
That week.
Certainly.
And wisdom as to how best to address that is something that is desperately needed for a pastor. And there's Great. Ways to think about that and ways to discern that. Now, fast forward to Monday, and there was a lot of chatter on social media was going on.
I recommend staying away from social media these days.
A lot of very unhelpful chatter. So we're not going to mention any names. Maybe we should name it. I don't know. But there was a couple, and I'm going to read a quote here from a tweet. It's no longer called Twitter. It's called X now. I don't know what you call it.
But I'll just say before you read this quote in different forms was said by a lot of people.
Okay. Yeah. So this echoes the sentiment from a lot of different people, some of them pastors, some of them not.
Most of them not,
but there were
Christians.
Some Christian pastors who made
these
kind of statements. So here's the one. I'm quoting this exactly. And this person says, "I'm going to be blunt. If your pastor didn't mention Charlie Kirk's name today," this was actually on Sunday, "they're gripped by either fear or ignorance, and you should seriously consider finding a new church.
Yeah.
Do you think a comment like that is warranted?
I don't think it's helpful at all.
No.
I don't think it's helpful at all. And again, there's a lot of these kind of comments on X and Facebook and Blue Sky and all these other groups, all these other social media platforms. And no, I don't think they're helpful at all. There's way more to consider than whether a man's name was mentioned, a current event was mentioned, than that. And there's also way more to consider about like the pastor and why he didn't say it or why he did say it. And, you know, just so our listeners know, this is not in self-defense, you know, I actually talked
about,
it was a fairly large portion of my sermon to talk about that. And I just felt that people needed it. And so we did, but I think comments like that are so incredibly unhelpful.
Right.
And I know, and pastors have reached out to me since Sunday, several actually, five, and asked me questions about this, like how they, you know, the backlash that they were getting, these particular five who didn't mention it in their sermon, or who hinted towards it but didn't mention explicitly, or one that mentioned it but didn't give it a lot of weight, like a lot of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're asking, man, do you hear the vitriolic response to this? And what do we do? And so that's why you and I were talking about this, and we thought, let's make a podcast about it.
Right. It warrants some comment because I for one do not find advice like that. I find it to be unbiblical. I mean, to point blank advise people to leave their churches on the basis of something that, you know, he's talking about here, a pastor either should have done this, and if they didn't, they're either gripped by fear or ignorance. That's judging a man's intentions and motives and heart.
And also giving people advice who are not under his, you know, he's not going to stand before God and give an account for these people. They're not in his charge. He's not an elder over the people he's advising. He's advising people in other churches to leave their church.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that just breaks my heart is the quickness we have to repudiate others, to disparage others, and to stir up division in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Like we are so fast, you know, I can go back to 2016 and think about the election. Certainly the COVID years, so many instances happened where things became litmus tests to fidelity that are not in the Bible, and divisions, endless divisions among Christians, and that breaks my heart.
Yeah. So what is the primary biblical calling of a pastor when he stands in the pulpit? What must he do?
He must preach the word.
He must preach the word.
Yeah, preach the word. That's what he's called to do. Now, the arguments that people are making about this is that he should preach the word as it applies to our context.
Yes.
And so not preaching the context, not preaching within the context is not really preaching. That's the argument they're making. But maybe we can walk through this outline and see if there's some helpful word that we can give to kind of push back on that sentiment that, man, if a name wasn't mentioned other than Jesus,
right?
You know, yeah. Like I think about Spurgeon, and he says, "Preach Christ and Christ and Christ and Christ and nothing else but Christ."
Right?
You know, like if that name's not mentioned, we got issues. You know, but you know, let's think about when should we mention current events and things like that.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time comments like that, these black and white, throw down the gauntlet comments have been made. It's been made in the past on other issues where if your pastor wasn't saying this or doing this or endorsing this, that you need to leave that church. And we definitely would disagree with those comments and say they're unhelpful. Now,
super unhelpful.
Given the events of last week, I thought what you said was wholly appropriate, the way you addressed the way you wove it into the sermon this past Sunday. And the sermon's main point didn't end with, now let's all pick up our sledgehammers and start, you know, let's get out there and start smashing the idols. It was turn your eyes to Christ. Yeah. It was look to Christ. Right. It was a Christ-centered sermon, but you addressed an issue that was so prominent and so at the forefront of people's minds. Right. And so I thought it was wholly appropriate. But was a pastor necessarily being unfaithful if he didn't have that tie-in? No, I don't think so.
He was
as long as he was preaching the word.
I listened to a few of my friends' sermons on Sunday, and they were very good sermons and actually really applicable to the current events.
Yeah.
One in particular was just spot on in all these areas, didn't explicitly draw the line, could have, but didn't. And it was not an unfaithful sermon. And it certainly wasn't one that I would advise anyone to leave their church over. Right. You know, like it was a good sermon that was based in the text and that exalted Christ and was encouraging. I left that, you know, I listened to it online. I left that, you know, sermon uplifted and encouraged. Yeah.
I feel like today's episode, there's going to be some advice here speaking to those in ministry, but I think there's also advice for church members that are feeling some of these pressures of the culture. They might be grieving also the events and things like that. But they're also on social media and they're also seeing comments like this. Yeah. How do we process through all of this? So let's kind of jump into the outline here.
Sure.
Let's start out with what's the criteria that a pastor should use when determining whether or not a cultural event or a significant event, a current event, should be included in some way in a sermon? What do you use as you're the primary preaching pastor here at Faith?
Yeah. So for me, I mean, there's a lot of different things I'm thinking about. One of them is what's on everyone's mind, mm-hmm. you know? And so if this event is big enough that everybody's thinking about it, and then perhaps it would be distracting if I don't speak about it. Mm. And if it's helpful to speak, I mean, helpfulness at the end of the day is the criteria. Will this be helpful? Will this encourage them to trust in God more? Will this help them to see reality as it really is better? Will it correct misguided emotions and thoughts? Will it, you know, will mentioning this thing be helpful to God's people? That's at the end of the day, that's my big criteria. Now, I've been doing this a long time and I've gone through a lot of different, you know, I've been in ministry for 30 years. I've seen a lot of different current events in those 30 years, and not every current event deserves, you know, half my sermon. You know what I mean?
No.
And not even every event, not even all the events that everyone's thinking about all the time. Like, it could be that this Sunday, they've been thinking about this thing all week long, you know, this current event all week long. And maybe on Sunday, I need to help them see bigger things.
Yeah.
And that current event needs to be put aside so I can think, so I can help them think about the biggest realities that actually put that context there that they're not seeing.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? It puts that current event in a better context, a context of eternity. So yeah, my criteria is helpfulness. When I'm thinking about, should I mention this? I'm thinking helpfulness. Will this help them?
I agree with you fully there. And I don't preach as often as you do, but when I do, I'm mindful of the current events of the world that are out there, but you cannot comment on every single sermon, every single week on the current events of the world.
Nor should you.
Exactly.
Nor should you. I don't want to speak on something that the people already are thinking about all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is the time where we go into the Word and we want to grow in the Word. Now, again, sometimes the situation is so big that it's way more helpful to talk about it than not to talk about it. And I can help people to think about it, you know, biblically. You know, and I think that those times warrant bringing it up, but not every event is of equal value that way.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the other thing, like, and this is a barb. I'm not a prickly guy, you know, but here's a barb.
Okay. Not the name Barb.
No. here is a barb I want to throw out there for people who are acting like cultural warriors right now. It is not brave to say things that everybody in the room agrees with. Like, let's just get this out of the way. You know, like, all I'm hearing is,
were you brave on Sunday?
Yeah. Were you brave on Sunday? And if you didn't mention this, it was cowardice and people pleasing. And, you know, like most of us are in conservative churches. Most of us are conservative leaning churches anyway.
Yeah,
And when we talk about these things, there's broad agreement. You know, they need to hear it and they need to hear it in the context of the gospel. But it's not like I didn't feel brave talking about it on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that ruffle more feathers than that, you know, that I have to talk about that come up straight up from the Word, you know, theological matters.
And that's where it's hard.
Yeah.
That is where, you know, the being careful not to pander to people.
Yeah, people pleasing.
Right. Please people. It's when you have to say something that actually, you know, might be very unpopular with everyone in the room. Yeah. But it's going to be challenging people's thinking. That's where it gets hardest.
It does. It does. Yeah. So let's move past the dichotomy of cowardice versus bravery, because I don't think that's actually on the table. Mm-hmm. In fact, I bet some pastors were feeling the pressure to talk about it, didn't sense that that's where God was leading them to do, and went against the pressure and maybe even knew that it would bother some that they did.
Mm.
You know, and so they're not people pleasing cowards. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah. Well then, okay, so we've talked a little bit about, you know, deciding whether or not to address an issue. I think about like after 9/11.
Yeah. How could you
many
not?
Many years ago.
Right.
You know, there. I don't know if there was a church in America that didn't mention that because right. It's so at the forefront of people's minds.
It was.
But
and,
you're...
And I think Charlie Kirk was too.
Exactly.
Mean, you know, yeah. It was one of those kind of moments. But.
But you're living in a world too where week after week after week, there are horrible things happening in the world, even in our country. And there's a point at which, and I love how you said this, you want to take people's minds and hearts to greater realities.
Yes.
That will lift them out of that kind of worldly thinking. I mean, the Bible says, set your minds on things that are above. And so we want to do that. Yeah. When we've had a hard, heavy week and the news is terrible, we want our hearts and minds to be lifted. I think about the worship night
that
we had.
That's our duty, isn't it?
Yes,
that's our
duty. And this wasn't our regular pattern of worship, but last Wednesday night, we had a worship time here at Faith.
Yeah.
And it was the day of. It was the day that Charlie Kirk was killed. And we made mention of it that night.
Spent some time praying.
We spent some time praying. But the tenor of that whole gathering was joyful worship because In that moment, I felt like we needed joyful lifting up.
We
needed our eyes lifted up. And so there's times like that, even in the regular gathered worship of the saints on Sundays, where it's been a terrible week in the world and we need our eyes lifted. We need to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
And probably a dozen people came up to me after church on Wednesday night that worship night and said, I needed this tonight.
Mm.
I needed this tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and they were referring to the events of the day. And so that's exactly, I think you nailed it. We are called to set our minds on heavenly things. And in those moments, sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to beckon our attention upward towards Christ.
We've kind of answered question number two about balancing the call to preach, the timeless gospel. Anything else you want to say on that? Or do you feel like we've kind of covered that pretty well?
Yeah, I keep the timeless truth the timeless truth.
Yeah.
You know, like the temporal things, keep them, I think, keep everything in balance. Like,
yes.
You know, like I would fear putting a current event on the same level as timeless realities, as if they're the same.
Yeah.
So, that's just that.
Good word. Good word. Okay, social media. Let's talk about...
Not being on it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. It's so vitriolic these days.
And see that, I'm on it.
I
agree
with
you. Yeah. I'm on it, but there's got to be... You've got to have a very careful diet, I think, of social media out there. This is like, I mean, think of social media as the gigantic piece of, you know, chocolate cake. You can't eat that constantly. You know, you're going to make yourself sick. You're going to make yourself feel horrible. It's going to ruin your health. And I feel the same way about social media. Yeah. There's useful ways in which we can implement it into our lives and have discourse, but it is such a pitfall.
I think
a danger.
I think pastors need to be aware. I think it's helpful to be aware, maybe not driven by it, but aware of it. And, you know, it's one of those barometers. This is what, and you know, the reality is there's a whole lot of people in our congregations that are definitely there and they're, you know, getting informed there. And that it helps us to know what that conversation looks like. And so that's one of the reasons I'm there. And I try to say helpful things, you know,
I try to,
most of my social media interactions are for the purpose of helping people sort things through and look to Jesus. You know, those are my two aims, plus a couple of family things and whatever. But, you know, my main job there is to, just point people to Christ.
You should not, I'm going to say very plainly, you should not be getting your advice of where to attend church or how to interact with your church leaders from people you don't know on social media.
Please.
And in many cases,
you're
people
so right.
you do know on social media. I'll say that.
The Lord has put elders and pastors, you know, pastor elders, there in your life for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like these social media voices somehow trump the elder pastor relationship.
Right.
You know? So if you have an issue, go to your elders
and
pastors.
Go to them. Talk to them.
And here's another word of advice. And I know I'm just, you know, I probably sound like a cranky old man, but don't be a cultural warrior there. Don't engage and don't say things that you wouldn't say to someone's face on social media in the midst of these things.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a good word. Yeah. You know, the the priesthood of all believers, when we say that, when we talk about that, is our consciences, every believer's conscience is bound by the word of God.
Yeah.
Meaning that, okay, so is there a time to ever leave a church? There can be, absolutely. Yeah. If you read the word of God and you're studying it and you're in community with other believers and you're beginning to discern theological error in the life of your church, go to the leaders of that church, address that, have that conversation. But if someone on social media tells you something that's outside of Scripture and it's like, what if your church isn't doing this thing and it's not explicitly given to us in Scripture, don't listen to that person.
Yeah.
That is bad, bad advice.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hubris. Like if I were to stand here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, yeah, and say something so that somebody in, you know, San Diego, California, and I don't know the context, I don't know that person, I don't know their church, and here I've advised them to leave their church, like that's a scary amount of hubris.
Yeah, it is. Is to social media, Instagram, X, Facebook, whatever,
yeah,
and you're out there giving people advice on the, I don't listen to it. Yeah. Just, you know, keep a very thin diet of that.
All right, I'll ask you the next question. Yeah. It says, how do you handle the risk of political polarization when speaking on controversial topics?
As one who admittedly in the past has made some mistakes in commenting on things, maybe not giving the context I wanted to give, you have to be very careful because I think there is a time to be bold and to speak clearly on things. I think we should speak clearly on things, but I'm also not trying to arbitrarily ruffle feathers with people. I'm not trying to walk into a room with a flamethrower and just let me just set this room on fire with this comment right here. And I'll give you an example. Okay. Right. And so far I didn't get any angry comments on this. But
there's still time. There's still time.
There's still time.
Listener.
If you follow me on Facebook, you can still get mad at me. But there was a well-known political commentator out there who made this comment. And I don't think that she doesn't profess to be a Christian, but it's because of the circles that she runs in, she could definitely have influence on conservative-minded people in Christian context. And so she had said, you cannot be kind to your enemy. I just hope people come to realize this soon. You have to be vicious. There's nothing wrong with being vicious for the sake of saving our country. And I just thought, that is so wrong. That is so un-Christian. My word in putting that out there is if you're seeing this, if you're coming across this in your feed, don't buy into something so anti-gospel. And I clarify that by saying, of course, as Christians, we stand for justice. We stand for evildoers to be punished. Romans 13 talks about that. And always taking those things to the Scripture and talking about them. But don't be caught up in the stirring up rhetoric that is going on out there that is drawing us into these just harsh, you know, hammer down angry conversations that we're having. I always try to balance it with bringing it back to what do the Scriptures say? And the Scriptures tell us how to live. It tells us how to interact with our neighbors. It tells us how to love one another. It tells us how to be committed to Christ. I don't know. Do you want to say anything more about that or push back on anything I've said up to this point?
No, that's fine. I agree with that. I think most of the errors that people make are errors of emphasis.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to political polarization, or they just decide that they're going to be a polarizing person. And, you know, you can get a lot of likes on Facebook and whatever by being polarizing. And it's very tempting. And it's another way of people pleasing, by the way. Like, you seem like you're just, you know, this equal opportunity offender, but really you're pandering to a base. And, you know, so again, I'm not really impressed with the brave cultural warrior mantra that people, you know, but my thing is, I want to be a man who is all out for Jesus Christ and the gospel.
Yeah.
And I want that to shape all of my thinking about everything, you know, about the way I see the world, about the way I interact with people. I want it to shape the tone that I use when I'm speaking to somebody who disagrees with me. I don't want to be a polarizing person for the sake of being polarizing, because I know if I get their politics right and they are still outside of the gospel, they will still be condemned before God and go to a Christless eternity.
Yes.
And that's not what I want for them. You know, if they get they check all the conservative, social, moral boxes, right? But still their heart is not following Jesus.
And see, that is where speaking in your context and understanding your context can be really important because, you know, I could make a bunch of comments on a social media platform about issues that I know everybody in my immediate personal context is going to agree with.
Yeah.
And that would, I would get lots of likes and, and applause. What can happen, okay, now I'm just going to lay my cards out here. I consider myself conservative, okay? There's hopefully no question about that. But occasionally, I've made comments that I thought were pushing back about something maybe a conservative person did or said. And it's kind of a pushback. It's like, well, why did you do that about that person, not about this person? And part of that ties into what you were just saying is because I recognize that the vast majority of the people I interact with and am friends with and related to are in this context of conservative-minded people, both biblically and on social issues and all of those things like that. I don't want the gospel to become obfuscated or twisted in with this and say, oh, if you believe all of these things right here, these social issues, these political issues, if you can check all of these boxes, then somehow you're okay before a holy God. And so sometimes bringing that clarity on those issues isn't so much trying to ruffle the feathers of my own camp. It's just saying, let's make sure we keep these issues clear in what we're talking about here. I don't know.
That's good. Now, for me, I want to always check my motives. You know, I want to check my motives. Am I saying this to stir up things? Am I saying this to make people's eyebrows go high? Am I saying this because I know I'm in my echo chamber and everyone will be like, you know, go Mike.
Yeah.
Or am I saying this because I want to make much of the name of Jesus Christ?
Exactly. Yeah. Good point there. Yep. What role does prayer and counsel from elders or staff play in deciding whether or not to speak on current issues?
That's a good point. I mean, that's a good question to ask. Like, as far as like, I think we all think we see everything just perfectly clear. Mm. You know, none of us see our own blind spots, that kind of thing. I think when there's other counselors in your realm who can speak into that, that's very helpful. Like other people who might be able to temper something I would say, or who could say, you know, the tone of that, they don't know your heart, but what the tone communicates there is going to sound disparaging and rough. That's helpful to me, you know, because I don't know those things. It's kind of like, even just my wife, you know, like, I say just my wife is awesome at this. I run something by her and she says, I think the tone is going to be too sharp there. Mm. That's so helpful for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't think that, you know, and then if I look at it from her perspective, I'm like, yeah, that's right. So, I do want elders speaking into this. I want other pastors speaking into this, you know, like, if they see something I write on social media and they say, man, that was not right, you know, I want to be called out on it so that I don't continue on that path of hurting other people.
Yeah. Wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors.
That's right.
And we all have blind spots.
We do.
And we are oftentimes our own biggest fans and we think everything that we're saying is perfect. And so, yeah, having a multitude of counselors, having elders, having staff, having godly friends within our churches that can speak into those issues when they happen. What are some biblical examples that, you know, you would say guide you in approaching cultural or political issues and when to speak on those and when not to?
Well, my hero in this is Jesus. You know, he
That's
talked
a good example.
Yeah. He talked to some of the most polarizing, political issues of the day, taxation by the Romans. Mm. And he spoke, and every time he did, he pointed to the kingdom. He pointed to the kingdom.
Yeah, that's you know? Good, man.
So they're all, should we pay taxes or not? You know, because a good Jew is thinking, no, I shouldn't. You know, I should pay to the temple tax only, you know. And here Jesus goes in and he speaks right to the taxation of the Romans. He remember the, he asks somebody to hold up a coin and he says, whose image is on that? Mm. Render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's and, you know.
Things that are God,
And whose image are we on? You know, he was pointing us to the kingdom. He always pointed to the kingdom and to the gospel in the way that he talked about current events. Mm. And so, yeah, I want to take that example and I want to run with that with my whole life.
We want everything. I agree with you so much there in everything that you just said. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I want to be known for the Christ I follow, not the agenda or political or social issue that I follow.
Yes.
Now, those are important. They have implications. They flow from the worldview that we have and the beliefs that we have. But ultimately, I want it to point to Christ. And so how Jesus always took it back to the gospel, the kingdom, that's what we should do.
And other passages that can help inform this, Romans 13, understanding our citizenry responsibilities mm-hmm. as dual citizens. You know, our main citizenship is in heaven, but we are also right now earthly, and so we have an earthly citizenship. So Romans 13, some other things, Corinthians, when he starts talking about some of the polarizing things that were going on in the Corinth church, lots of those passages are very helpful.
I'm trying to find a quote from John Piper here. Let me see if I can find it. But he, this was at a conference a couple years ago where he was asked about some of these similar issues on this subject. And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this here, but he came away, he said, I want people to leave the church on a Sunday not seething in anger about the culture around them, but with their mindset on heavenly realities of Christ and his kingdom. And I think setting that priority is so important. Yeah. I wouldn't want people to come to faith and leave here on a Sunday being an angry culture warrior. That is not what we want. We want them to leave with a deeper love for God and Christ, with a deeper love for his word, for a deeper love for one another, for a love for their neighbors and a desire to see the gospel go to their neighbors and to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
That is what our hope is in preaching the gospel.
Right on, yeah. Right on.
All right. Couple more questions here.
All right,
what
do we got?
Let's do these here. How do you differentiate between addressing current events in preaching versus other church contexts, small groups, newsletters, social media? We've talked about this a little bit, but maybe flesh this out a little bit more.
Yeah, so like some of my brothers in Christ who are preaching the gospel every week faithfully and who've been kind of thrown under the bus for not mentioning this have gone other rounds, have done other things to talk about this. Like one I know... wrote a very good blog to try to help, and it published the day before Sunday came, you know, so he didn't feel the necessity to talk about it on Sunday because he had just written extensively about it the day before. And he thought that was more helpful because it was right in the, you know, they could just open it and read it. And
yeah.
And his sermon was on point with it, you know, but he didn't really mention it all that much. So I think there are other ways that we can talk about these things. I don't, you know, maybe the Sunday sermon isn't the place to talk about a certain current event, but maybe a blog post can be, or a podcast. You know, you can address it in a podcast like this. One of the reasons we have this podcast is another means of communication to get in people's heads about different things like this.
Yeah.
We're doing it right now.
Right now.
I'm not going to preach about this on Sunday. I'm not going to preach about what, you know, like this exact thing, how we should respond to current events, you know, but here we have an opportunity to speak pastorally.
Yes.
And we're doing it.
And conversationally, and there's so much more that can get fleshed out in a podcast episode or a blog post than can be said in a 35, 40-minute sermon on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
You've got a trajectory. You want to get to the meaning of the text. You want to get, you want to make your points. You want to make your application. It's the preaching of the word. And that is a different context than what we're doing right now.
Right.
And this allows us more flexibility to have the back and forth, the conversation, the follow-up, things like that. And so this gives us a better opportunity for those things.
Here's another one. And here's one that I haven't been awesome at. I've grown in tremendously over the years as I've served as a pastor, but porch time, meaning spending time with people one-on-one.
On the porch.
To talk on the porch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from the South. We have porches down there. Yeah. I haven't, you know, I just freely admit that for many years, I just wasn't very good at porch time. You know, like being in people's homes, sitting around with them, talking to them, or at a coffee shop, talking to them about these big issues. Sometimes that's a great format to talk about the things that are just really pressing on their hearts and minds about the culture and about the events of the day. Porch time.
Yeah. Good word.
Yeah.
What are we at now? Number 8. Some advice.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to younger pastors who feel pressure to speak on every trending issue?
I'm going to, you know, we've talked a lot about this today. I think ultimately your conscience is captive to the word of God. Christ is your head. He's your chief shepherd. You're called to be obedient to him. You're called to preach the word. There are definitely times when the cultural events, the world and the world around us and things like that will warrant comment from the pulpit. Yeah. But I think your model of what Jesus did and always taking that to the gospel of the kingdom is applicable there. So always make sure if you do comment on something like that, then tie it in clearly with the message of the gospel. Don't make it a thing in and of itself. But also there might be times in which not commenting on something is the right and the boldest thing to do for the cause of the gospel.
And it might cause the most backlash.
Yeah.
And so let me say this. Do not get into a habit, young pastor, do not get into the habit of saying things because you feel pressured to say them by outside forces other than the scriptures and the spirit. Do not get into the habit of pandering to people. That doesn't end well. You won't please them. They won't be pleased in the end. You'll please some. You'll anger others. Mm. You'll never strike that balance. And most importantly, you will not please our Lord.
Yes.
You know, so good don't word. Be bold. Be so bold that you're willing not to say some things that everybody in the room wants you to say if you feel like that's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
And be so bold to say the thing that no one wants you to say. If it's the right thing to say.
If it's the right thing to say, yeah.
So you are not there to please your people. Not in that sense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You are there to make your people happy in the Lord.
Exactly.
So go do that.
Spot
with joy.
On.
Yeah. And boldness.
Do we want to say anything about the current pressing events that are going on right now?
We started. Our hearts break for Erica.
Kirk.
Yeah. Our hearts. Children. Yeah. Two small children. I love some of the things that she said recently about it, and our hearts break for the situation. I love that people are watching the videos now, especially the videos when he talks about the gospel. They're so clear and so good. When he talks about some moral issues and frames them right in the sense of the gospel, you know, we're heartbroken by these things, but we are not hopeless.
Yeah,
we are not hopeless. Our hope is in Christ. We trudge ahead. We march ahead with joy and with boldness. We love the gospel. We love Christ.
Yeah, I would say also just an advice to others who are listening. Don't let social media right now disciple you.
Yeah,
and don't let it be your guide for how you interact with your local church. Use this as an opportunity for the gospel. Not as an opportunity to go, you know, take the sledgehammer and start swinging it around you.
We're disparaging pastors who are
exactly
faithful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a good word. Well, this has been a good episode.
Yeah,
I think we hopefully covered a lot. If you've got questions, of course, about any of these things, you can go to faithsf.com/soundingfaith. Excuse me, you can go to sifpodcast.com. Sorry, we forgot we had our domain there. Get merch and submit questions, things like that. We do have a couple of questions that have come into the podcast. We weren't able to get to those today, but we do hope to answer those in a future episode here. But for the Sounding Faith podcast, I'm Pastor Thomas.
And I'm Pastor Mike.
Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.